first shaila that I got when I was in the rabbinate before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was that one of the women, who happened to have been a very young woman, had some kind of a medical condition, and it was a suffix sakana for her to fast on Yom Kippur. So I had to tell her that she has to eat. Chayla, where there's a suffix or a spek of a suffix sakana, has to eat on Yom Kippur. And you sometimes have to convince the people that they shouldn't observe a midas chasidus to think that they're doing a big mitzvah by fasting. There's no midas chasidus. Let's say pregnant women, the Gemara says, menikas are obligated to fast on Yom Kippur. It's going to be difficult, so you have to tell them they should stay home, they shouldn't go to shul. If they're going to go to shul and strain themselves, so of course they're going to become hungry. So you tell them to stay home in an air-conditioned room and rest in bed a whole day, because there's no heter to create the sakanas nefashis for yourself. Rabbi Soloveitchik was once asked the shayla. This comes up every so often, the shayla, not so rare, that the chazan in shul, who's davening for an amid, has a medical condition and he has to eat on Yom Kippur. So is it permissible for him to daven for an amid? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said no, because if he's going to strain himself to daven, he's going to have to eat more. He has a heter to eat whatever he has to eat in order to keep himself alive. But he has no heter to strain himself to make himself require eating more than the bare minimum. There is the common practices when you have a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, sofek sakana, badai sakana, whatever. The common practice is machila mosa pachas mikashir. Because the Gemara says in the end of Yuma, the whole sugi of pikuach nefesh is the end of Yuma. Eating on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says at the end of Yuma that machila mosa hakala kal tchila. If the person, let's say, has to eat non-kosher food to save his life, so he can either eat chazer, which is alav, or he can eat tevel, which is misa b'dei shamay. If it's tevel b'rais. So the Gemara says eat the chazer rather than eat the tevel, because that's less of an aver. So we pask in chot tishir as also an aver to eat less than the shir achila on Yom Kippur. It is also an iser min hatorah, but it's less of an iser than to eat a kashir. If a person eats a kashir on Yom Kippur, then it's chayv koras. If he eats less than a kashir, then he's not chayv koras. So the generally accepted opinion usually is that when you have a chodesh eish b'sakana, he has to eat on Yom Kippur, so he eats pachas mikashir. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to say over that when his father took his first rabbinical position in Europe, so his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, made his father promise him that he won't paskin like that. That he'll paskin for the chodesh sheyesh b'sakana, he should eat regular meals on Yom Kippur based on the Rambam, Magen Mishnah, the Rambam. And this was known, Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik, in the safe on the Rambam posted, this was known to be the psak of Rabbi Chaim Valojina. It wasn't the Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik in the Rabbi Soloveitchik tells it over as if his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, discovered America. This was the Psak HaMekubal of Valojin, from the days of Rabbi Chaim Valojin. Chaim Valojin was the one who founded the yeshiva. The Netziv writes this up. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. And the Netziv was a teenager when he came to learn in Valojin, and the Nachlas David was still alive. Rabbi David Tebel, who had learned by Rabbi Chaim Valojin, he gave a shir in Valojin during the lifetime of Rabbi Chaim Valojin. So the Netziv quotes this, that he heard it from the Nachlas David. This was the Psak HaMekubal of Valojin from the very beginning. That for Chodesh Sheyesh B'Sakana, you don't have to be medactic about Pachas Mekashir. Unless it's the Oledes, that's a different story. Oledes is a far-fetched suffix Sakana. So the din is even a slight sex fake of the suffix Sakana. Also is Decha Yom Kippur, Decha Shabbos and everything. So if it's a real suffix sakana, a real close to 50-50 suffix sakana, so then there's a tradition from Rabbi Chaim Valojin, from Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, that you're not makben on pachas b'gishir. But if it's a far-fetched suffix sakana, then everybody agrees that one should be medactic on pachas b'gishir. Some people have to take medications on Yom Kippur, so the rabbi has to check to make sure the medications are not tasty. If they don't have any flavor, it doesn't taste good. So there are two issues. One issue is refuah. You're not allowed to take medication on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. So if it's a chodesh ein b'sakana, we allow already the yisur refuah. And then the eating on Yom Kippur, the din is that if it's not roi l'achila, if the food is not roi l'achila, then there's no prohibition of achila on Yom Kippur. Lichatchila, a person should sit and eat. He's going to pop pills into his mouth all day long, like popping popcorn in his mouth. So that's achshavei. He demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, people are going to chew on, eat a pencil. Sit the whole day on kippah, chew a pencil. Achshavei, you're not allowed to. Achshavei, he demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, it is right achil. But the person is only taking one pill every 5 hours or something. That's not achshavei. He's not demonstrating that as far as he's concerned, that's right achil. So as long as it doesn't have any flavoring in it, so then there's no prohibition to take such a pill on Yom Kippur. Sometimes you have to swallow the pill with liquid. You can't swallow it. If you can swallow just with saliva, so swallow with saliva. If you have to take some liquid with it, then you got a problem. But there's a chelush ein b'sakana. So the Rabbanim always used to recommend swallow with a little mouthwash. You're not going to die from a little bit of mouthwash. The mouthwash is not roi l'achil. So that solves that problem. So the first shalat that I got when I was in the rabbinate, I started on Rosh Hashanah. First shalat was about the cholet to eat on Yom Kippur. That woman, after I left the rabbinate, that woman died. She had a problem. I met a man who now lives in America. He told me that his first wife was not well. And they asked the doctors whether there's a suffix sakana shall fast on Yom Kippur. And the doctors thought that suffix sakana means will she die on Yom Kippur. So they said, no suffix sakana. But he says she clearly died earlier than she would have died because she fasted on Yom Kippur. So that's terrible. The definition of a suffix sakana means if the person has a condition that he may die 1 minute earlier than otherwise because he's going to fast on Yom Kippur. That's also called suffix sakana. Doesn't mean you got to die on Yom Kippur soon after Yom Kippur. He thinks that his wife died several months earlier than she would have because she got weaker than Yom Kippur. So that's also suffix sakana. Anyway, the fellow remarried, but that was terrible that his wife had to die earlier than otherwise. The second shaila that I got when I was in the rabbinate on Rosh Hashanah was that for Mincha, Balabos, Davin for an Amid, and after Kedusha, he started right away the Dovador, Nagid Galecha, and he forgot to say the Chen Tein Pachtecha. So that was an easy shaila. The Chen Tein Pachtecha is a piyut, and it's not Ma'akev. If a person forgot to say the Chen Tein Pachtecha in Shemana Esrei, usually Davin from a Machzah, so who's going to forget the Chen Tein Pachtecha? As it happens, the Baal Tfila forgot it. So the din is that that's not Mi'akeh B'Riyevet. HaMelech HaKodesh says in Shulchan Aruch is Mi'akeh B'Riyevet. So if a Yochid or the Chazan makes a mistake and he says HaKel HaKodesh, instead of HaMelech HaKodesh, you have to daven over again. The first night of Rosh Hashanah, the Chayodin quotes from one of the Dayan. Chayodin was a businessman originally, and then he became a Dayan later. When the business didn't go well, then they appointed him as a Dayan. Imagine a businessman wrote the Chayodin. So he quotes from the Dayan in Vilna. One of the Dayanim in Vilna was Rababala Pasvela. Pasvel is one of the outskirts, one of the villages on the outskirts of Vilna. So he quotes every so often, every 50 pages, he quotes a psak from Rababala Pasvela. So this is a famous psak. He says that if a person forgets Yalav Yavoy, Leil Rosh Chodesh, and the Shemana Esrei, he doesn't have to repeat the Shemana Esrei because in the Kachan is a Chodesh Balayma. So he applies the same over here. If a person forgot to say HaMelech HaKodesh the first night of Rosh Hashanah, since Rosh Hashanah depends on Kiddush HaKodesh, and the Kachan is a Chodesh Balayla, so you treat it as if it's not yet Rosh Hashanah, and you don't have to daven over again. So many disagreed with this Chiddush of Rababala Pasvela. The Beis HaLevi has a tshuva where he says, I would have understood if the person davened Tfilas Chol, if he said Atachainet, and he davened the whole Shemana Esrei, but he says Tfilas Rosh Hashanah, and he says Hakel HaKadosh. So that's wrong. For sure it's wrong. I would have gone along if he would have said one who davens Tfilas Chol a week day Shemana Esrei, well Rosh Hashanah would be Yitzhak B'Diyev because Ein Mekachin is HaKadosh Balav. So the Beis HaLevi doesn't like that Pesach. Rav Soloveitchik every year used to give a major shiur on his father's Yortzeit on Gimel Shvat. It was usually during intercession, middle of the winter, snowy night, always big snowstorms. So almost all the shiurim were all arachaim. So one shiur was to explain why he doesn't accept the psak of Rababal Apostle. It's printed in the collection, in the two volumes of the Yortzeit shiurim, why he didn't agree. The Mishnah Berurah points out there is a din that every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it comes up in some shul or another. All year long, it never happens. Only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's a din in the Mishnayos. If the chazan loses his voice in the middle, chazan faints, or loses his voice, he's not well enough to continue davening. So whatever bracha he finished, so the next chazan takes over after him. Unless he can't finish the Gimel Rishonis. If he didn't finish till the end of HaMelech HaKadosh and Aseres Meitshuva, then the new chazan has to start from the beginning, because we treat the Gimel Rishonis as if it's one unit. So the Mishnah Brura writes, and it happens to be a fact, that this usually happens on Rosh Hashanah. Every year you'll hear that it happened in either some shul or another. All the piyutim are always in the beginning of the Shemona Esrei. So by the time the chazan gets to HaMelech HaKadosh, it could well be that he's going to lose his voice already. Will be so hoarse he won't be able to continue. So you'll have to get someone else to take over. So the new chazan takes over, has to start all the way back from the beginning. If the chazan sees that it's happening, so the rabbi should cut out the piyutim, give him a break, leave out all the piyutim, and let him finish at least on Melech HaKadosh, then have the next chazan take over after him. It says the new chazan, let's say, if the first chazan just can't continue, and he stops davening before HaMelech HaKadosh, so the new chazan has to start from the very beginning. So the new chazan doesn't have to repeat all of the piyutim again. We heard it the first time. But Zachein Olachaim, even though Zachein Olachaim is only a piyut, Vechein Tepachter is also only a piyut, but that we do say. We treat Zachein Olachaim and Vechein Tepachter as if it's an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei, and you have to say Kedusha the second time. Even though the first chazan already said Kedusha, we weren't yotze with the first chazan, because he couldn't even continue till the end of HaMelech HaKadosh. The Mishnah says that the practice is that the Kohanim are supposed to duchen to Ne'ila. Usually they don't duchen to Mincha because we're afraid of Shikris. But on a Taina Siba, no one is going to be Shikr. Everybody's fasting, so there's a machlokes like Satanoim. Should you duchen to Mincha? So the Psak in the Gemara is that you don't duchen to Mincha even on a Taina Siba because of a loy plug of all year long. But Ne'ila is a tefillah that you only daven on a Taina Siba. People make the mistake, they think Ne'ila is unique to Yom Kippur. It's not unique to Yom Kippur. Ne'ila is unique to Taina Siba. Yom Kippur happens to be the only Taina Siba we have. Ain't Taina Siba b'Bavel chutz mi Tisha B'Av Yom HaKippurim. So Tisha B'Av, there's a reason why we don't say Ne'ila. In Yom Kippur we say Ne'ila because it's a Taina Siba. So the Mishnah says that the Kohanim are supposed to duchen to Ne'ila. The problem is that in most of the shuls they start Ne'ila before the Shkia. They don't get to Moedim till the point where the Chazanim, where the Kohen is supposed to duchen, till way after the Shkia, sometimes after the Tzeisar Kechavim. And the generally accepted opinion is that there's no duchening Balaylo. There's no duchening Balaylo. The Maharil and the Beis Yosef, they all quote, except for Frankfurt. In Frankfurt, the minhag always was that they would duchen in the middle of the night to Ne'ila. Rabbi Schwab, who used to be the rabbi here in Broya, said that his father was a balabas by Rabbi Hirsch, Rabbi Simson Rachel Hirsch. So he said when Rabbi Hirsch was alive, they would duchen like an Eretz Yisrael they do. They finished the duchening before the Shkia, and then they say Avinu Malkeinu Barichas. They say line by line, and then Rabbi Hirsch would hold the drasha in between Kaddish Diskabel and Ma'ariv to make sure that it would be Tzeisar Kachav. So there were times in Frankfurt where they would duchen before the Shkia. But now their practice is if you're a rabbi in such a shul. I happen to be the rabbi in a shul that was a branch of Broyers. So the first couple of years when I was there, all of the members were from Broyers, from Frankfurt. So they said they duch in the middle of the night. Then we had another kohen move into the neighborhood. It was also Yeket, but he wasn't from Frankfurt. So he never duchened in the middle of the night. So then we changed it. So then we had the duchening before the Shkia, and we said, Abi Makina line by line. And I was like Rabbi Hirsch, and I held the drasha. The Mishnah describes the way you have to blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. The Gemara says only when you have Chazaras HaShatz, the Tefillah B'Tzibur, when you have a Yochid is davening Shemoneh Esrei, you shouldn't have Tefillah Tkiyas Al Seir HaBrachos. Only in the Tzibur. What does it mean in the Tzibur? The Tosfos quotes from the Oruch that even in Tefillah B'Lachash, if you're davening B'Tzibur, you should have Tkiyas Al Seir HaBrachos. Many Hasidim have that practice, that they daven, that have tkiyas in tefillah balachash, al seder habrachas. Rabbi Nezer writes that if not for the fact that he's a chassidish rebbe, this is what he does for a living. So he has to have it. He says he would do away with it because it makes such a balagan. People get totally confused. They don't know what's going on. Rav Soloveitchik was asked about that. Is it proper to institute the kiyas in the middle of tefillah b'lavsha? He said, if it's a small minyan, like he used to daven in Maimonides, he had 25 people, the men and the women all together. There's hardly anybody there. So he would control it. So he says, small minyan, okay. But he says, in a big shul, he would never recommend it because it becomes a balagan. The people don't know what's going on, and they're blowing shofar, and they're in the middle of moedim, they're in the middle of some shalom. No one knows what's going on. What he used to do by his small minyan was, he would make an announcement in advance, slowly, and spell out all the details. He would say he's going to daven the tefillah b'lachash a little louder. He always daven a little louder. He always used to daven tefillah b'lachash loud enough. Everybody heard him daven all year long tefillah b'lachash. So he would say you should synchronize your davening with my Shemana Esrei. And when I get to the end of Malchiyas, then the Baltakeh is going to blow. At the end of Zechariah, the end of Shofar, the Baltakeh is going to blow. He would make all the announcements. He would always make an announcement. Also about Anias Omen, because you're not supposed to answer Omen Chatufa. You're not supposed to answer Omen before the person finishes the whole bracha. The common practice many rabbanim answer Omen when the chazan didn't finish the last syllable of the bracha. So this is especially violated on Yamim Tovim and Yamim Naroi. Let's say the chazan says Baruch Ata Hashem. What's the bracha? Zocher HaBris. Usually people say, why is Zocher HaBris? Amen. Everybody usually says together. So he would say, everyone has to wait till the chazan completes the final syllable of the bracha, and after he finishes the last syllable of bracha, then you begin to answer Amen. Velvel used to be makbet about that. Also in his minyan, you have to wait. Nias Amen should only take place after the chazan finishes the whole bracha. Exactly how do you blow the tkiyas after Malchus Chayna Shofers? So the Rishonim quote the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas in the days of the Gaon, the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas was that after Malchus they would blow Tashrat once, after Zecharias they would blow Tashat once, and after Shofers they would blow Tarat once. So no one knows what this is all about. This Tartarisasa doesn't make any sense. So the Gaonim, the Rif quotes the Chilas HaGaonim, that they defended it. So the only place I think in the whole wide world where they still do it is Troyes. They never change anything. So this is the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas, stays the same. The rest of the world already marched ahead and no one follows that. So the common practice is that we found the Chabad has a Pella. Chabad says after Malchus you should blow Tashrat three times. After Zecharias you should blow Tashat three times, and after Shofar you should blow Tarat three times. So it's the same Kasha three times over. So how did he fix anything? How did he make it any better? No one understands what the Mechaber solved over here. And the common practice is like the Shalor, right? Shalor lived around the same time as the Mechaber, the middle 1500. Shalor, I think, originally lived in Germany, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, the Sof Yom. So the common practice is like the Shalor, that after Malchus he blow Tashvat Tashat Tarat, after Zechronis he blow also Tashvat Tashat Tarat, same thing after Shofar. In the Rosh in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes the Machlokes are in the Tam and the other Rishonim when you blow Tashrat, whether the Shvarim Truah should be Menishim or Achas or Bishtei Nishimus. So the Mechaber writes, in order to satisfy all the opinions, so you should do half and half. You should blow some of the Tkiyas Menishim Achas and some of the Tkiyas Bishtei Nishimus. So which should you blow Menishim Achas, which Bishtei Nishimus? What's the difference? Why should it make a difference? So the Mechaber writes like this, you should blow the tkiyas, the neyushav, before the Shemana Esrei, those you should blow b'neshima achas. And the tkiyas, I'll say it abrachas, those you should blow b'shtei neshimas. Why? What's the difference? We do this way or that way. You should have just said, you should blow half like this and half like that. So the Vilna Gaon explains, the old meaning b'shtei yeshivas was no longer observed. So the Rabbi Natam, the Mechaber, is working within the Rabbi Natam solution. Rabbi Natam came to solve the problem. What do you blow after Malchus Chayna Shofers? So the Rabbi Natam says you should blow Tashrat after Malchus, Tashrat after Zechronis, Tashrat after Shofers. But if it's supposed to be Tashat, so don't you have a Hefzer Kol Acher? If it's supposed to be Tarat, so you have a Hefzer Kol Acher. So Rabbi Natam holds that when the Gemara is worried about the Hefzer Kol Acher, that's only Lachatchila. But the Yeb, the Hefzer Kol Acher doesn't bother us. So if you blow Tashrat, after Malchus, so you Yotze Mimanav Shach, whatever it's supposed to be, you Yotze. Lechatchili did everything ready and kills the Yusha before you. Lutashrat three times, and Tashrat three times, and Tarat three times. To be Yotzer, the Tchias HaSeir, well, just blow Tashrat each time, and you'll be Yotzer Mimonavshach. You don't have to worry about the Hefzi. So that's why the Mechaber says, if you're following the Rabbi in a Tam, you're just blowing Tashrat alone after Malchias, and Tashrat alone after Zechronis, and the same after Shofreis. So then you better not blow it b'neshim achas, because if it's supposed to really be tashat alone or tarat alone, so then you are mafsik b'kol acha b'neshim achas. So that even the Rabbi Netama hold is no good. Nobody follows the Rabbi Netama today. Nobody blows tashrat alone. Everybody follows the shalom. Everybody follows the shalom. So today really doesn't make a difference whether the rabbi should make up with the Baal Tekeah or the Baal Eit Tekeah, however many Baal Tekeah you have, you can have more than one. So you should make up that one should blow, one set should be B'Neshim Achas, one set should be B'Shtei Neshimas. Very often the Baal Eit Tekeah,
the Ramah says that all should be B'Shtei Neshimas.
The Ramah recommends everything should be B'Shtei Neshimas. The Rabbi Soloveitcher used to recommend everything should be B'Neshim Achas. So just at the end, Rav Soloveitcher used to have 30 koilas in the before the Shemone Esrei, and 30 koilas in the Tefillah Belachash, and 30 koilas in the Chazaras Hashatz, and then he would blow three times Tashrat after Chazaras Hashatz, three times Tashrat, B'shtei Neshimas. All the others he did. So he, instead of Meir koilas, he had 102 koilas. Always something unusual. 102 koilas, because blow Tashrat three times instead of Tashrat Tashrat Tarat, so you have an extra two koilas. So that was his practice. Okay.
They do the 60 at the end, which
The Iker Kpeda, the rabbi has to see to it that the Baal Tekeah should practice Ol Chodesh Elul to blow long tekiahs. A lot of times the Mishnah says Shia Tekiah, Kishia Truah. The tekiah has to be the same length as the Truah. So the Trua by Tashrat is very long. You have Yud Ches Trumitin. You have the Shvarim is 9 Trumitin, and the Trua is 9 Trumitin. So 9 is 18. So you have to have very long tekiahs. So the rabbi has to convince the Baal Tekeah that he should blow a very long tekiahs by the tekiahs of Tashrat. There is an opinion from the Gaonim that even on Yom Tov, Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is not allowed to fast. There's an inyan of Kibbut V'Yoinig and Simcha, but on Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, since it's Yom Neroim, so the Gaonim rub the opinion that it's permissible to fast. The Gaonim also held on Shabbos Shuvah, you're allowed to fast. So we don't follow that opinion, but B'Di'evit, we follow that opinion. Let's say a person recites Birchas HaMazon, they forgot to say Yalav Yova on the Birchas HaMazon. So the reason why you have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon on Shabbos Yom Tov, if one forgot to say Yalav Yova, so the Gemara said, because you mechuyev to have a Suda. Suda Shlishis, we paskin, you don't have to repeat Birchas HaMazon if you forgot to say, because there's an opinion that you weren't mechuyev to have pas for Suda Shlishis. So Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to fast, but you don't have to have pas. And since there was no Chayva Suda with pas, so even if you forgot Yalav Yova, you don't have to bench over again. So since the Goyim are of the opinion that one is permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so B'di'evit we rely on the Goyim. If one would recite Birchas HaMazon and forget Yalav Yova, we would tell him he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. B'di'evit we rely on the Goyim. The Achrayim say that this is only B'Midbar Mamurim Rosh Hashanah in the daytime, because the Yom Adin is in the daytime. The nighttime is not yet the Yom Adin, so at nighttime there's no excuse, there's no one to rely on, not to eat a Suda. Like every Yom Tov, you have to have a Chiyav Suda Balayla. So if one who would forget Yalav Yova Leil Rosh Hashanah in the Birchas HaMazon, then Achrayim say he would have to repeat the bench. Only by Yom, you have the Goyim to rely on. We also rely on the Goyim with respect to another din on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Rishonim recommended a Chumrah that a person should start eating before Chatzos. Even though he's not the Kabbal Taimus, he's not fasting the whole day, but if the chazan is going to daven so long, a lot of shuls chazan daven so long, you finish on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov after Chatzos. So you don't begin to eat till after Chatzos. So the Rishonim said, as a chumrah, that's a violation of tainus b'Shabbos u'b'Yom Tov. So on Rosh Hashanah, we're not makpid on that. Even if the chazan finishes after Chatzos, it's a nishgefelach, because we always have the goyim to rely on, the goyim hold that you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah. The simple solution would be, to have a cup, a drink of water before you go to shul in the morning. I don't know. Somehow they don't. Even though the goyim, most of the goyim held that you're allowed to fast even on Shabbos Shuvah, but this kula, they only write on Rosh Hashanah. Apparently, they weren't even prepared to accept the goyim b'riyeder for Shabbos Shuvah. Only on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. The first Mishnah, the first parak in Masechah Shabbos, there's a Mishnah. The Gemara says it comes out like this: that you're not allowed to eat. You're not a beginner. Suda gedoyla, bizman mincha gedoyla. If you didn't have mincha yet. Let's say, what time's Mincha Gedolah? Around 1:30 now. So let's say I'm going to go to a wedding. I plan to go to a wedding, and the wedding's going to take forever. The wedding's going to take a long time. But let's say in the same hall there's another wedding scheduled for 6 o'clock. So everything is going to be gone. Everything is, let's say, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is before the shkia. So everything is going to be gone, and the tables are going to be set again for the second wedding at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. But still, so it's not shaykh that the first wedding is going to continue till after the shkia. But still, the din is that you're not allowed to start the suda gedoyla if you didn't die mincha yet, bizman mincha gedoyla. And if it's only a suda ktana, a tuna fish sandwich, that's mutter to eat your tuna fish sandwich for lunch, or you have a yogurt for lunch, whatever, that's mutter. But if it's already mincha ktana, so then you're not allowed to have even a suda ktana. So the Chayyadim quotes from the Vilna Goyim that Sudas, Rosh Hashanah, Sudas Yantiv, he was machmer, we should treat it as a suda gedoyla. If you come to my home, it's a Suda Gdoyla, it takes forever. It takes an hour and a half. So Suda Gdoyla, you're not allowed to eat Bizman Mincha Gdoyla unless you daven Mincha. So that's why in the yeshiva, like in many yeshivas, they have the practice of the Vilna Goyim. Right after you finish davening Musaf, and it's already after 1:30, when they finish davening Musaf, so they daven Mincha right away. Because if you're going to go home and make Kiddush and start eating, you're starting in Suda Gdoyla, Bizman Mincha Gdoyla, which is not permissible. So you daven mincha first. Then they quote from the Vilna Goyim that those who daven mincha early then can leave out Avinu Malkeinu. See, what's the reason why we leave out Avinu Malkeinu after Musaf? On Rosh Hashanah you say Avinu Malkeinu after Shacharis. You don't say after Musaf. How come? Because everybody's hungry. So if you're going to daven mincha after Musaf, so you're going to be more hungry then. So you leave out Avinu Malkeinu also. So those who went home and ate, and then they come to the shul again, they daven mincha later, then they say Avinu Malkeinu after mincha. They're not hungry.
Why are you on Kippur? Do we say Avinu Malkeinu multiple times, even if we go straight through?
Because no one's eating. You have all day long. No one's eating on Yom Kippur. Ashkenazim have a meaning that we have a makri from Chabad. The rabbi, he should be the Shabbos goy. You're not allowed to talk. If you say the bracha, the Shema Kosher, not allowed to talk. So the rabbi is a shegetz, he does the talk. So he says to the Baal Tekeya, Tikiyah, he says, Shvarim Chua, he does the talk. So it's really questionable. What's the hetter to be mafsik? What, the Baal Tekeya is going to make a mistake? When did the Baal Tekeya ever make mistakes? So once in a long while they make a mistake. Anyway, that's the minig by the Ashkenazim, they have a makrid. Many Sfarim do not have a makrid at all. Many Hasidim are so makrid on the makrid, they'll have a makrid in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. Some Hasidim have a practice within Tefillah Balachash, the rabbi will be makrid. The Mishnah Brura raises an issue. It says, by duchening, you should prompt the Kohanim. The Chazan says, Yivarech Echa, and then the Kohanim scream out, Yivarech Echa. They say it word by word. So why does he prompt them? So some say, in Shulchan Aruch, there are two explanations given for the Rishon. Some say that they shouldn't make a mistake. So if you're just worried about making a mistake, then I can make a mistake on the first word. After they say the first word, they may make a mistake, what's the second word? So then you should be makri them the second word. But the first word, you don't have to. The meaning in most places is you makri even the first word, because it's not that we makri the Kohanim, the Duchening, because we're afraid to make a mistake. It's rather because it's based on Amorahim. We have to be mitzavah to the Kohanim that they should duchen. So we mitzavah, say Yivarechecha. Like we call out Kohanim, we're mitzavah, the Kohanim should duchen. So it's like pulling teeth. We say Yivarechecha, say Hashem, say Yishmerecha. So because we treat it as part of the tzivui, so that's why they makri even the first word. So what's on Rosh Hashanah? So it's usually assumed, the Mishnah Berurah says on Rosh Hashanah, it's usually assumed that the reason why the rabbi serves as a makri is to make sure the Baal Tekeya doesn't make a mistake. So on the first tikiyah, what's he going to make a mistake? He knows that he don't start with shkarit. So Mishnah Berurah came up with this newfangled chiddush. The first, the Baal, He writes, if there's no clear cut minig hamakom, the rabbi should not be makri on the first tekiya. Where in the world is there no clear cut? There's a minig hamakom all over. Everybody's makri the first one. What he means is, if the rabbi can get away with it without being fired, if the rabbi can get away with it without being fired, he shouldn't be makri the first tekiya. The balabatim will be very upset, because when I was a rabbi, so I explained to the Baal Tekeh. Baal Tekeh was a learned yeshiva man. So I explained to him, I won't be makri the first tekiya. After that, I will say. He didn't understand, and he thought I'm not going to be makri anything. So one of the balabatim, who was older than me, was very upset. Well, what's going on? Shadadim and Hagiv? How can you not be makri? As if it's a ma'akiv here. The OU printed a machza with all of Rabbi Soloveitchik's recommendations for psukim and the Malchus Manashofis. It's kedai to take a look. Kol Nidre, there are two nuskos for Kol Nidre. There's a big dispute in the Rishonim. What does Kol Nidre represent? Is it Hataras Nedorim with respect to the Nedorim that we took, Yom Kippurim She'ovar, Yom Kippurim Hazeh? Or is it a Mesiris Moido, a declaration on the Nidorim that I will take the Yom Kippurim, Zad Yom Kippurim, Haba Alayim L'Tayvah, till next Yom Kippur. So the Chayyadim recommends that one should say both. The Chayyadim has a law of Nusach. You change everything past tense, Yom Kippurim Shabbat, Yom Kippurim Hazeh. Then you say the Nishba, with the Neida, change everything to future. Most of the Baalei Tefillah don't say the whole thing, but you should follow the Chayyadim. He recommends you should say both, L'Shavar, and Lahabo should be a Hataras and Dorim Lishavar, as well as Sirus Maidon and Dorim Lahabo. In Shulchan Aruch it says that Mishnah says you're only allowed to be Matan and Dorim on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The net there's Litzarach Shabbos. Person took a net and not to eat potatoes, then his wife only has cholim for potatoes. He won't be able to eat anything. So if he wants very much to eat it, so then you're allowed to be Matan Neder. What do we Matan Neder on Yom Kippur? Which Nedorim are we Mata is Tzorach Yom Kippur? So that's why it says Shulchan Aruch, you should be careful to schedule Kol Nidre in such a way that at least the first time of Kol Nidre, the first recitation should take place before the Shkiyah. So Mi'ikar Adin, you only have to say Kol Nidre once. It's only a minute to say it three times. The reason why we say it three times is because the Karayim never accepted Hataras Nedorim, because it's only Torah Shabbal Peh. In fact, the Mishnah at the end of the last line of the first paragraph in Chagiga, the Mishnah says, "Hat nedar parchem ba'avir." It's just transmitted orally from generation to generation. Parchem ba'avir. Ve'en lehem ameshe yismochad. There's no way to darshan it from the psukim. It's not even based on midrash atar nedreshes mem. It's purely halachah moshe misina Torah shabbat peh. Then the Gemara quotes other tanaim who disagree with the Mishnah. They say, "Yesh lehem ameshe yismochad. It is Torah shabbat peh." But you can read it in between the lines. Whatever it is, whether it does have what to rely, doesn't have, the Karaim never accepted Hataras Nedorim. So that's why the Mechaber writes in Yerudeh, the meaning is that you say three times, Mutalach, 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 for emphasis, to emphasize the fact that we do subscribe to Hataras Nedorim. And the Vilna Gaon over there refers you to the Mishnah in Menachos, that in the days of the Bayi Sheni, the Tzdukim, felt that Sfiras HaOmer always begins on a Sunday, and Shavuos always going to be Machas HaShabbos, and the Shavuos always going to be an extended weekend. It's always going to be on a Sunday. And that's what the Christians carried over. A lot of the shtick from the Tzdukim, from the Bayi Sheni, is one of the things. They have Pentecost as the holiday of the 50th day. It's always on a Sunday. They have a lot of things that are carry over from the days of the Tzdukim and the Bayi Sheni. So when Sfiras HaOmer would take place on any day of the week other than Matzoi Shabbos, according to the Tzdukim, it always takes place Matzoi Shabbos. But the 6 out of 7 times not going to take place on Matzoi Shabbos. And whenever it took place on a different day, so they would gather together all the farmers from all the villages, all the Balabatim would gather together, and they would make a big hullabaloo, a big fuss, and the one who was cutting the yoimah would ask everything three times. Should I cut the yoimah today, even though today is not Saturday night? Even though today is Shabbos? Should I be Michal Shabbos? Should I put it into this bag? He would repeat everything three times to emphasize the fact that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbal Peh, not like the Tzedukah. In the Sidurim, in the art scroll, in all the normal Sidurim, it says the minig is on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You do Hataras Nedorim. So you say Hakol Mechulam Lachem, Hakol Shurim Lachem, Hakol Metorim Lachem. So you say it three times. Then it says you say it three times. So you say nine times. So that doesn't make any sense, 9 times. That's the minhag. Everybody says that 3 times. It already has 3 times. But now some of the yeshivas, the art scroll printed, you say 3 times, it means it boils down to 9 times. Because when you say it once, it says already 3 times. Some of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael send out a mailing before Rosh Hashanah. So they'll send you the text of the HaTorah Sandor and Rosh Hashanah. They won't say you say 3 times. You say once, because you say once, you already have 3 times. Rav Soloveitchik used to say over from the Magen Avraham, who quotes the Shalom, who quotes the Ramban. The Ramban in the end of Maseches Yuma says, the Pshat and the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, means that a person should purify himself spiritually. A person should recite Vidui Lifnei Hashem immediately prior to entering into Yom Kippur. So the Ramban says that's the basis of the whole Gemara, the end of Yuma, that there's a din d'oraisa, you should recite Vidui immediately before Yom Kippur, Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. But the Chacham were afraid, Shem Yerah Dvar Kakol Abisud Yasta Yidah Suda HaMavsekis, were afraid he may get detained, and he may come to shul late. There are people who come to shul late, and Erev Yom Kippur also. He may not have, he may miss his chance to recite the Vida immediately before Yom Kippur enters. So that's why the Chachamim recommended you should daven mincha before the Suda HaMavsekis and recite Vida before the Suda HaMavsekis. But then, if he did come to shul on time, you should really repeat the Vida again after the Suda HaMavsekis, right before you accept Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced, he said his father introduced, Rav Chaim did like that, introduced that the whole tzibut together says the whole vidui. He say the whole vidui. In other communities, they don't have such a minig that everybody says. A lot of people recite the vidui of the chayyodim, that's known as the tefillah zakah, that's printed in many of the machzorim. And that is based on the Magen Avraham, who quotes this from the from the Shalom, who says it based on the Ramban, that Lefnei Hashem Tetoru is the real din d'oraisa. You should recite Vida, you should purify yourselves immediately. Lefnei Hashem means prior to the entering of Yom Kippur. The Rosh at the end of Yuma quotes Rav Sadia Goin, who says that everyone is obligated to go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur and you recite a bracha, Shekhar Hashanah bin Tzotzim Tzivon of Allah Tfilah. So the Rosh is very upset. What kind of bracha is that? Bracha Levatola? He said you shouldn't say a bracha. But that's a common practice. What is it based on? What in the world is it based on? So the Rosh understood, or misunderstood, whatever. The Rosh thought that it's the Rav Sadia Goin is based on Chai Varam L'Tayr Atzmo Baregel. So that's a question that the Shagas Aryeh has the famous tshuva that only applies to Sholosh U'Golam and the Zechiyah Aliyah L'Regel to enter the Azara. So the person who's going to be Tum, he can't enter the Azara. But it doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it shouldn't apply to Zman HaZeh. It's not based on Migdash. No one's entering the Azara Bechlal today. So the Shagas Aryeh did away with that whole thing. He said it doesn't make sense. And many Achronim say no, that they misunderstood the Rav Sadia Goin. Rav Sadia Goin translated, or Hashulchan and others have like this. Rav Sadia Goin translated the pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, immediately before you enter Yom Kippur, you should go to Mikveh. The Ramban said, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, you should recite Vidui, the Haras HaNefesh. And the Rav Sadia Goin understood Taharas Aguf, a person should be Tovel in the Mikveh immediately before entering Yom Kippur. So that's a common practice. Many have the practice to go, even all year long they don't go to Mikveh, they go to Mikveh before Rosh Hashanah also. That's really not based on, that's not the Rav Sadia Goin, that's not based on Lefnei Hashem Tetoru. So what is that based on? So the Rishonim already have this. We have a practice that in Aseres Meitshuvah we machmer not to eat the paspalta. Beis Yosef says it based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Rishonim say you should be machmer on other things as well in Aseres Meitshuvah. So the Gemara says that originally there was a takonas Ezra. Ezra, the beginning of the Bais Shein, Ezra made 10 takonas. One of the takonas was that a balkeri, a man is a balkeri or a woman is a polet shechvezer, is not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn Torah. So the Gemara says that takana was lasting for a few centuries. And then in the days of the Tanoim, they abolished the Takana because Yudah ben Meseir, I think the Gemara quotes, abolished the Takana because Divrei Torah not mekabel tumah. I'll call the very Kohesh Niyum Hashem, just like Eish is not mekabel tumah, the Divrei Torah not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara only says that they abolished the Takana, says with respect to learning Torah. What about with respect to davening? Did they abolish Takana, says? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rosh quotes the Ravid. We don't have it on the Rambam. The Rambam says, Takana says it was abolished, He says, God in heaven will testify that I always go to mikveh. The Rambam writes in the Rambam. Sahadei b'mraimim, my witnesses in heaven, they'll testify I always go to mikveh before I daven. But he says, mikir edin, you don't have to. Once they abolish the takana for learning, they abolish the takana for davening also. And we don't have the Raibid in the Hasagas, but the Rush quotes the Raibid who disagrees. He says, not true. They only abolish the takana with respect to learning, with respect to davening. You still have to go to mikveh. That's why the Hasidim go to mikveh before they daven. See, even though all year long, the misnag the mamekel, so the Rishayim already have. Then Aseres make shuva, maybe you should be machmer to observe Tfilas Ezra for davening, because there was such an opinion in their Raibid.
How could the Mubatal the takana of Ezra?
Right, that's a major topic that's discussed by Taisus and the other Rishayim. That's a serious discussion. They have a good discussion on that. If you remember, a few years ago, Professor Alman got the Nobel Award for Physics. So he learned in Yankee Vies, he didn't learn here. But when he came to America, so he spoke in the yeshiva, they had a reception for him. So he lives in Rehavia. So he was telling, we had a group of Rabbanim, so he was telling us why he liked very much Rabbi Gustman, Zechon Lebrach, he used to be in his neighborhood. So he was telling all the different stories. So this Professor Alman had a son, a married son who was killed in the war in Eretz Yisrael, Yom Kippur. So he said that when his son, Professor Alman was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Schlesinger, Meir Schlesinger, so his son learned in Shalavim by his brother-in-law. And then after he graduated Shalavim, so he learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and then he picked up, Schlesinger is also a Yekid. So everything was Yekish there. Then when he moved on to the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, the Yekids don't dominate over there. So he was picking up all the Litvishim in Hogan. So in Erev Yom Kippur, his son was single, so his father sees his son walking out of the house with a towel. So he asked him, where are you going? He says, going to the mikveh. He says, that's not our minig. The Yekas, that's not our minig. So he says, but everybody goes to the mikveh. It's not our minig. And he keeps on saying, but oh my friend, it's not our minig. So the father finally made a deal with his son. Yes, Rabbi Gusman. Whatever he says is okay. So he asked Rabbi Gusman. So Rabbi Gusman said, everybody goes to mikveh. What do you mean? So he said, but my father said it's not our minig. What do you mean? Your grandfather didn't go to mikveh. Your great grandfather. So he said, that's what my father said. So he said, Shema mini Torahs. Shema mini. If that's your family meaning, so you don't go to mikveh. So that's why Professor Alman liked Rabbi Gusman very much, because he helped from the Minhagim, from the Yekish and Minhagim. Then he was telling another story why he helped from him. That Professor Alman wanted to know, is he allowed to use, they have sometimes programs on the internet that are copyright, whatever, and everybody can download it, but it's against the Din of the Machusa. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to download something to save himself $2,000 to pay for the program. So Rav Gusman said, in Yiddish, ask my son-in-law, he knows what it is. So he said, no, I want to hear from you. So he said, give me a week, I'll think about it. So at the end of the week, he comes back to him, and he didn't think about it. So he said, ask my son-in-law, he knows what this is. So he said, no, I want to hear from you. So he said, okay, give me a little more time. He comes back a couple of days later. So Rabbi Gusman says to him, you really want to hear my opinion? He says, yes. He says, absolutely, usher, it's gezel gomer. But that's why he likes him also. That's the answer that he thought was correct. You're not allowed to download things from the internet that are big neighbor. Now it happens to be relevant. Just last week, some criminal, Meir Shorim, put the whole Schottenstein shas on the internet. So they're already losing $100,000 in 2 days. Everybody's downloading the whole shas, so you don't have to pay a penny for it. It's a mamish geneva, because they lay out a fortune of money. They pay Talmid HaChacham all over the world to do all the work on this, and they're not going to get the revenues. They're going to have to close down shop. Scandal. Anyway. So he was telling us that's why he liked very much Rabbi Gusman. The quote from the Vilna Gaon, Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes from the Vilna Gaon that there are three brachas that the Vilna Gaon thought it's not right to change. There are those who say at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, instead of Havarach Hashem Yisrael Bashalom, all year long they say Oseh HaShalom. Probably an Italian Nusach or something like that. But those who have the Nusach all year long to say Havarach Hashem Yisrael Bashalom, so the Vilna Gaon thought that it's not right to change in Aseres Meitshuva to say Oseh HaShalom. when it says that you change to say Osev Shalom, that means when you say the Kaddish. When the Chazan says the Kaddish, this Kabel, instead of saying Osev Shalom Bimraimov, he say Osev HaShalom Bimraimov, but not to change the Nusach HaBroch. Rav Soloveitchik was very makbid about that. Then also before the Duchenim, when the Kohanim Duchen, so the minig in many places is that instead of saying Amatz Nishkenos HaDetzion, the Chazan says Shos Chalavatcha B'Yir HaNavay. So that was the Nusach HaBroch, and they said in the Shemana Esrei. But the Vilna Gaon says it's not proper. You shouldn't say this. You should say Hamar. You should say Hamar Zeshchenos Alitzion. And the same thing on Yom Tovim, when you say Marovis, when you say the Piyutim in the middle of Mairiv, on Leil Rosh Hashanah there is no Marovis, because the meaning always used to be that people fasted on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so they were starving, and they really fasted all day long. Not that they broke the fast at 1 o'clock. They used to fast all day long, so they would be starving on Leil Rosh Hashanah. They'll be hungry, so they were, the rabbis were reasonable, so they never introduced any marovis for Leil Rosh Hashanah. So now, hardly anybody fast. Those who fast only fast the half a day, but still, they never wrote any marovis, so we're off the hook. So we don't say any piyut. But when you say marovis on Leil Shalosh Regalim, so in order to fit in with the piyutim that are recited, so they changed the nusach. Instead of saying Goal Yisrael, they say Tzur Yisrael Goalo. So the Vilna Gaon said it's not proper. Yimishanim and Be'er Shetov HaChachamim Bibrochus, and it's not proper. They quote also from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that it's not proper to ask the Malachim to take care of things for us. The Mishnah says Ha'ay Mei Brochu. The Mishnah is in Brochus and in the Gila. I think it appears in both Masechtos. Ha'ay Mei Brochu Chatovim Mishaskim Osam. One who says the Yibrochu Chatovim is improper. What does it mean, Yibrochu Chatovim? So there are different interpretations the Rishonim have. So some of the Miri quotes, some Rishonim will interpret, if he asks that the good angel should bless you, you're not allowed to say that. That's why Rav Chaim Volozhiner would leave out Baruchuni L'Sholem when he sang Sholem Aleichem on Friday night, and he wouldn't say Malachi Rachmim, and so on. You shouldn't say these in the Slichas, the Piyutim, where you're asking the angels to help you. On Yom Kippur, it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a mechilta on the end of Parshas Bishalach. Moshe Aaron Bechur Olu Rosh HaGibo, that Mikanda Tainasiba Shetzorach Shloshim. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that the Jews were fighting the Mohammed with Amalek. So he had Aaron Bechur on the two sides. Mikan, we derive from this pasuk that on the Tainasiba you should have two people standing next to the Chazan when he davens. So on the Shulchan Aruch, it says you should have two people next to the Chazan during Chazaras HaShatz. On Yom Kippur. So the Magen Avraham did away with it. He says, our minig is, we have two people next to the Chazan for Kol Nidri, because that's HaTorah Nedarim. And Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha Yidav and every Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So what's unique about that? Ne'ilah is Tfilas HaTainis. So that's Tfilas HaTainis, so you need three. So how come you don't have two people sitting next to the Chazan by Chazaras HaShatz of Ne'ilah? So he says, we have, because our minig is, we leave the Aron Kodesh open and everybody's standing the whole time. So you have more than two people standing next to the Chazan. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's more proper to have two people next to the Chazan for Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris and Musaf and Mincha as well, and Nila. We have two people standing next to the Chazan. Just a point about standing up, our meaning is that whenever they open up the Aron Kodesh to say the Piyutim, so everybody stands up. So the Poskim point out that this is really only a Chumrah Meikar Adin. Since the Sifrei Torah are in a different reshus, the Aron Kodesh is 10 Tfachim tall, and it's usually Dalal Adalad deep. So if it's Dalal Adalad Tfachim, Dalal Adalad Tfachim, not Adam, Dalal Adalad Tfachim, 10 Tfachim tall, then it's a reshus Bifnei Atzma. So really, strictly speaking, you don't have to stand. The Sifrei Torah is in a different reshus. Even if the Sifrei Torah be in our reshus, if the Sifrei Torah is stationary, it's not moving, also Mikra, then you don't have to stand. So the Achrenim say it's only a chumrah. What exactly is the chumrah? What are we machmer about? So Leitchik thought the chumrah is that we treat the piyutim as a davar shebikdusha. The reciting of the piyutim needs amida, but that's also just the chumrah. So sometimes you have older people in the shul, and they want to know, is it really necessary to stand so much? You can't stand so much. So Rav Leitchik said, you have to tell them you have to stand when the Chazan says vidu in the Chazaras HaShatz. That's Nigmar. That says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, Meikar Adin, you have to stand, all the people have to stand when the Chazan says Vidui in the Chazaras HaShatz. But the standing for the opening of the Aron Kodesh, that's only Amidas Chasidus. Meikar Adin, you don't have to. So you can tell the older people, they can take it easy. you should check to make sure that your shofar is a kosher shofar. There was a scandal about 15 years ago. There was a I think it was a non-Jew decided he made a factory in Yugoslavia to manufacture shofars. So he took shofars and he melted them all, and they blew perfectly. All the shofars were exactly the same, because he took shofars and he melted the material and he poured it into a mold, and every shofar was exactly the same as the other one. They were selling them all over the world. So at that time, the Rabbanut announced that these shofars are no good. If you melt the shofar and you make it mechadesh, it's no good. If you take different chips from different shofars and you glue it together, it's no good. So if you melt all shofar, for sure, it's no good. So that's why after that, the Rabbanut insisted you got to have a hechshev on the shofar. Sounds a little humorous. But you have to make sure that you don't, you're not one of the lucky winners. Make sure that you don't have one of those Yugoslavian shofars that was manufactured at that time. Some Gedolim had a practice that usually on Erev Rosh Hashanah, when you do Hataras Nedarim, so the Baal HaBatim usually mechaber the rabbi, they'll be mata his neder first, and then he can leave. He doesn't have to. Other places the Baal HaBatim have to run to work. The rabbi has all day long. So other places the Baal HaBatim are mata neder first. So there were, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quote this, that there were Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael had a practice that they would be makbid dafke, they wanted to have Hataras Nedarim last. They wanted the three people of Mata, their Neder, should already be cleansed of their Neder. Because the Gemara has a lotion. If the three Dayanim Mumchim themselves are bound with Nedarim, so how can they be Mata my Neder? So there was such a Kpeda, the rabbi should be Medaktik to be the last one to have Hataras Nedarim. So the members of his Bezna, Mata Neder, should themselves already have been Mata de Nedor. It's interesting, there was some German professor, a Jewish German professor, lived 150 years ago, I never heard of him, so the name didn't register by me, who published a whole essay where he documents the fact that in Alexandria, years ago, centuries ago, they used to have a parade every Yom Kippur for the Orthodox Jews who subscribed to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the parade was to demonstrate that we subscribed to the Torah Shebaal Peh as opposed to the Karoyim, who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, a long drosha based on the Beis HaLevi, that we have two holidays that when we celebrate Kabbalah Sator, one is Shavuos, and one is Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says in the end of Tainus that Yom Kippur was one of the two jolliest days in the calendar year. Yom Kippur, needs to make all the shidduchim, not the way Yom Kippur is observed today. So the Gemara says, why was Yom Kippur such a jolly day? Yom Shinitim Baluchas Achredes, Yom Shinitim Batur. So the Beis HaLevi discusses, why do you need two holidays to celebrate Kabbalah Sator, both Shavuos and Yom Kippur? So he explains, Shavuos is we celebrate Kabbalah Sator Shabbat, and Yom Kippur we celebrate Kabbalah Sator Shabbat. So it sounds a little doichik. What do you mean? Just you have two parts to the Torah, two Yom HaTov. So you say, this goes on this goes on that. Just arbitrarily, maybe fakir. No. Beis HaLevi has a long arichas. Rav Soloveitchik said it over in different occasions. No. The original plan was that there's only going to be Torah Shebichsav. There wasn't going to be any Torah Shebichsav. And after the Chet HaEgel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to give the Umas Olam Shlita over the Jewish people, so then, if we won't have a Torah Shebichsav, how will anybody know that we are the Yamanifcha? The Catholic claims that they're the Yamanifcha. They have the whole Torah. So the answer is, but we have the Torah Shebaal Peh, which they don't have. So after the Chet Ha'egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give the Torah Shebaal Peh. So Yom Kippur is the Yontif. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnias, it only had the Aseres HaDibur written. The Beis HaLevi quotes passages from the Zohar and Gemaras and Midrashim that the Luch HaShnias had everything written on. The Luch HaShnias only had the Aseres HaDibur written. And that's why Yom Kippur is the holiday of Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat. So Rashi pointed out in the Chumash, in Parsha Zachari Mas, the whole Seder Avodah is written. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Kala Parsha Ksuva Ala Seder Chutz Mi Mikra Zed. There's one pasuk out of order. One pasuk out of order. But the way it says in Chumash, the Avodah is done in three units instead of five units. First you do Big Day Zob, Big Day Lovin, Big Day Zob, Big Lovin, Big Day Zob. In the Chumash, it has it in three units. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you don't follow the Torah Shebaal Peh, you're going to do the Avodah incorrectly on Yom Kippur. The Bnei Shlomim dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that you can't follow Torah Shebichzav. To emphasize that Yom Kippur is the Yontov of Kabbalah, Torah Shebaalpeh, so that's why the Psukim are written a little bit out of order. So this professor of Jewish history from 150 years ago published an essay. He's trying to figure out why do we introduce Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? What's the connection between Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur? So the different suggestions. So his suggestion was, many beautiful suggestions, different ideas. So his suggestion was that HaTorah Nedarim is the epitome of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why we say three times Mutalach, 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 because the Karoi never believed in it. Because Ein Lahem HaMeshe Yismachu. It's Parchem Bo'av, Ein Lahem HaMeshe Yismachu. So he says that the Kol Nidre was introduced at the same time, he thinks same time that they made that parade in Alexandria, demonstrate that Yom Kippur is the yontav of Torah Shebaal Peh, and we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's kedai to emphasize in the drushes on Yom Kippur that we follow the Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay? There's a lot more in Shulchan Aruch. The highlights. Aksiyu aksimetayvet, everybody.
I have a silver.